highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
But he prepares us. He told us in advance what's coming, that we wouldn't be afraid. And then, before he sends his disciples out, he tells them, by the way, guys, it's not going to be a walk in the park.
From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. In our lesson today, Jesus prepares the disciples for persecution as he sends them out to proclaim the kingdom of God is near. Because they went out without police or military protection, he sent them as sheep in the midst of wolves. Despite their vulnerable position, Jesus' followers were not to defend themselves with worldly forms of power. They were to remain harmless as doves, though wise as serpents. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he begins chapter 10 in verse 16 of the Gospel of Matthew.
All right, good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. 3 weeks ago, when I was here last, we looked at the first 15 verses, and what I'd like to do this morning is really just look at verses 16 down through 26, Lord willing, but let's just, I'm just going to briefly, we'll start in verse 16, but what's happening here is Jesus is calling his disciples, and he's going to be sending them out. And, you know, there comes a time when God has invested in us that it's time to put those things that we learn and that we grow in and that we've come to know about him and about ourselves. It's time to not only be encouraged of that ourselves, but then to take that out, because that's the intention of the gospel. It's good news. It was good news for us, and now we want to give that good news out to others, right? Because people need to hear good news today. I don't know if you noticed, but there's nothing good happening out there. But we need good news. And the best news that could ever be shared is, get this, that we're sinners. And that's the bad news. But the good news is that Jesus has died for us, and that if we put our faith in him, we could have everlasting life. That's the best news. And that's the best gift that could ever be given to mankind, because I think we've proven over several thousand years now that we really don't know what we're doing. We really don't know how to get out of this mess that we're in. And the reason is because we have an old nature, and that old nature has to be confronted. The old nature has to come into agreement with God, who said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And once I do that, then I can confess my sin and I can walk in newness of life in Christ because of what he has done for me. He took the punishment upon himself for all of your sin and all of my sin, and God allowed that to be placed on his son for once and for all, one time. And Jesus became sin for us. He bore the penalty for our sin. And that is the best news going. It's not a news that's easy for the natural man to take in, because in order to come to Christ, you have to realize that you're a sinner. Not too many people on the planet are willing to confess that they're a sinner to begin with. And they certainly are not willing to confess of any sin that they've done. So therein lies the rub. There is the problem that we face, and by the way, that's the same problem that Jesus faced. It's the same problem that his disciples who were sent out, that they faced. And we are going to experience the same thing. There are trials and persecutions coming our way if we are faithful. The Bible says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution. No, it says shall suffer persecution. And that's a great message for Sunday morning, isn't it? Hey, God loves you, but you're going to go out and you're going to be attacked by wolves. Merry Christmas. Nobody wants to hear that. We want the warm fuzzies. We want to put on our slippers, be in our cloud drinking some really good coffee. We don't want to hear any bad news or difficult news. Well, folks, listen. We've got an eternity of pleasures forevermore, the godly pleasures forevermore with Christ in the new Jerusalem, in the new heavens and the new earth. And even in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, even though that's going to be much better than anything we've ever known, it's still not going to be a walk in the park during that time, but we'll be in our new bodies. I mean, that's exciting for me. But to know that there is an eternal state waiting for us, and Revelation 21:22 tells us that, that's what I look forward to. And folks, that'll never end. So whatever I can do in this body right now on this planet in this short amount of time, which in comparison to eternity is going to go by just like that, whatever I can do, I want to do it. I want to do it with all of my heart and with all of my soul. After all, doesn't he deserve my all? I mean, by reason of creation alone, not to mention by rights of redemption, when he redeemed me, I'm not my own anymore. I belong to him. How many of you belong to Jesus? Raise your hand. I belong to him, hopefully all of us. But you know, even if you didn't raise your hand this morning, I hope today, by the end of the service, you'll raise your hand. Because the Lord of creation, the Lord of glory, loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And it doesn't matter what you've done. I don't care if you're a serial killer back in the 70s. You can come to Christ today. Well, that's a stark contrast, isn't it? But that's how great his salvation is. That's how great his love is. That's how great his forgiveness is. So Jesus gathers his 12 together. They've already been called, and we'll look at that in a little bit. But he calls them, he brings them together, and he sends them out two by two. And he does that for a very good reason. But there's something so wonderful about this. Before he sends them out, he prepares them. Like a good shepherd, he prepares them. Jesus has always been preparing us. Do you understand? I mean, even when we've looked in the Bible and we've been going through Revelation of things yet future to us, he's told us what's coming so that when it comes, we won't faint. I love that about him. Can you imagine living in the world, seeing what's going on and knowing the end of it all, and certainly seeing things ramping up, and it's looking very, we're getting there, folks. Jesus could return at any minute for the church. And I hope you're hanging on that, because that is the blessed hope. That's what I'm looking for. That's the next thing on the prophetic calendar, is the rapture of the church. So looking forward to that. But he prepares us. He told us in advance what's coming, that we wouldn't be afraid. And then, before he sends his disciples out, he tells them, by the way, guys, it's not going to be a walk in the park. You know, when I got saved, I went and told everybody I could think of, my family, friends, everybody. And I thought there would be this wonderful, like, everybody picking me up on their shoulders and going, we believe. And, you know, and I'm so excited. And I am, and I was. And then to realize, as I start talking, I don't get the response that I'm hoping for. Because God had filled me with his spirit, because I was born again, my eyes and my understanding were open, and I'm looking out at people, telling them the truth, and they're looking like, we want the old Rob back. I don't want this new Rob. I don't want Rob 2.0. Elmer Fudd here. I want Rob 1.0. No, I want Rob 1.0. I want that dirty, sneaky, scoundrel, rotten sinner. I want him back rather than this other guy. And it didn't happen the way I thought. And Jesus tells his disciples, same is true for you guys. I hate to say it. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they crucified me, they're going to crucify you. But I've given you all power, and I've given you everything you need to accomplish it. And it is my great joy, and isn't it yours as well, to discover the will of God for your life and then go out and do it with all of your heart. So let's read verse 16. So he calls them, he prepares them, he tells them what's coming. And then he says, behold, verse 16, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will be revealed, that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, how you just bring us to an end of ourselves. Lord, thank you for loving us, and just prepare our hearts, Lord, and send us out. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice back in verse 1, I just want to quickly review the first 15 verses. It's been 3 weeks. So notice in verse 1, he called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them power, notice, over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. Now I want you to notice the order and how he orders them, because that's significant. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. That sounds like a pairing right there, don't you agree? And then James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Another pairing. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, it's not what you think, Canaanite is actually probably the right word, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, we know that God had that Jesus had already called his disciples. We know that he first called Philip in John's Gospel in chapter 1, verse 43. And after that, Simon Peter and Andrew, they were brothers, he calls them in Matthew 4. And then finally, in James and John, Zebedee's sons, he called them in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. And then finally, fourthly, he calls Matthew, the tax collector, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. And then in Mark's Gospel, the previously named disciples are listed with the addition of a handful of more disciples, Bartholomew, the same as Nathanael, Thomas, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, same as Lebbaeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot. And then finally, here in Matthew, all the above were put into a different order here in Matthew, but Peter is listed first, but Judas is always listed last. And why is Judas listed last? Because he betrayed Christ. And Peter is listed first. I love that. But notice that they were all in a certain order. They were in pairs. In fact, in Mark's Gospel, it tells us that he called the 12 to himself and he began to send them out two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. And so why two by two? Why didn't he just send out them all in one great big, you know, group? You know, that would be pretty intimidating. But notice Jesus doesn't need to intimidate anybody. He sends them out not one by one. He sends them out two by two. And why? Why two by two? Well, perhaps, there's a wonderful verse in Ecclesiastes that says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fail, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he fails, for he has no one to help him up. Two by two, such wisdom in the pairing of people as they go out. Other possible reasons why Jesus may have done this, certainly for encouragement. When you're feeling down and you have nobody to talk to, isn't it nice to have somebody else there? And certainly God can be that comfort, and he is. He is that comfort for us. But when he sends these men out, he sends them two by two, certainly for encouragement. And maybe he even, and I believe he did this, he paired them up according to his knowledge of their temperament, of who they were, how they would gel with one another. Jesus knew all of this about all 12 of them, and he knew who to pair up with who. And so he does that, and certainly for protection. There were still wild animals at this time, and if one is attacked by a wolf, the other one can beat him with a stick. Somebody's attacked on the road and trying to be mugged for their money or a sack of coins, the other one can fight the other one off. And certainly for accountability, as they would go through the different towns, they would be accountable to one another. And the things that they saw, both of them would see. And they would both give an account of those things that have happened, and certainly for strength. So going on in verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. And notice in verse 5 something really interesting. That Jesus, before telling them where to go, he tells them where not to go. He tells them where not to go. And why is that significant? Well, the Lord had a plan. He had a plan, and his plan is unique to each one of us. Our service to God is not cookie cutter, and neither was their service. It was going to be unique for each of these two men that would be sent out. And God works that way in us too. There's no two of us alike. There's not one of us alike the other. And God has a plan. And what it may look like in your life may be different from somebody else. And as much as the Lord might use us, he also knows what he wants to accomplish in each of our lives for our own growth as well. So it's not so much what we do for him, but it's also what he wants to do in us. We minister, and we also get ministered to. We should never think that we are the man or the woman sweeping in, you know, swinging in on a vine, and be the man or the woman of the hour to save some Aboriginal tribe in South America. That me, the powerful American who has it all together, I'm going to swing in on a vine and I'm going to save this Aboriginal group. Well, God may want to do that, but you may find yourself going to the jungle and getting malaria. And you may sit there for a week or two being nursed back to health by some tribal doctor before you share the life-saving gospel with that tribe. So you're ministering, but you're also getting ministered to. And very rarely is it just a one-way street. God is using you, but he's also working in you at the same time. It's a wonderful thing. It's almost like it's on-the-job training all the time. And that's exactly what it is. It's OJT. It's on-the-job training. Every single thing we do is on the job training. But God's calling is unique, and it's wonderful. And when God sends us out, he's already prepared our hearts. And when he does that, we will love what he has called us to do. And it's God's job to create that burden in your heart, and then he sends you. Because we are not all called to go to a remote village in South America and live in grass huts and eat bugs. We're not all called to do that. But God equips, he prepares the heart, and then sends out those who are wired for that, and they're happy to do it. Some enjoy living in a rugged fashion, and we shouldn't compare ourselves with other servants whom God is using. It's not fair, and it's not right. Don't worry if you don't have a propensity to do those things, because you don't need to worry about that. God's got it covered. He's got people who are fine with that kind of thing. And even if you're not fine with that thing, before he sends you, he's going to prepare you, and it's not going to be a big deal. Because your overwhelming desire is to please him, and you're going to love whatever it is that he's called you to do so much, it's going to be no big deal. It's not going to be a big deal. And you find yourself in this wonderful little bubble. And that's the mystery of God's calling. I think it's so wonderful. is before I came to Christ, to think that I would be up here doing what I'm doing and pastoring a church, I would have laughed at you until I was at a hernia. There is no way I wanted this. This was not my plan for my life. But guess what? God changes hearts. He's changing my heart. He's changed my heart. He's continuing to change my heart. And as I go along, I find myself like a kid in a candy store, sampling all the lollipops, going, how did I get here? And he's like, isn't it great? I'm like, yeah. He goes, are you serving me? Are you enjoying yourself? I can't imagine doing anything different. That's it. It's that simple. So don't worry about God sending you to the Aboriginal tribe in South America. He may put on your heart something. What's God put on your heart? Do you have a burden for something? Some people group? Maybe it could be your family. It could be coworkers. There might be somebody who God says, I want you to work on this guy, this woman. I want you to minister to them. I want them to see you in action. And I'm going to put you through some stuff, and you're not going to like it, but they're going to be watching you. Are you willing? Are you willing to be looked at? Are you willing to be examined for the soul of somebody else? And the right answer is, absolutely, God. Do whatever you got to do. Remember when Jesus lightly rebuked Peter after his resurrection? It says this in John chapter 21. And this is on the shore of Galilee when Peter was wondering what Jesus was going to do with John's life. Because Jesus just revealed to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And Peter looks around and goes, Lord, what about him? So Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Again, he's comparing himself. And see, if it happened to the disciples, it's not very uncommon for it to happen to us too. What are you going to do with John, Jesus? And Jesus said, if I will that he remain till I come, what's that to you? You follow me. Don't worry about him. I got a plan for him, and it's different for yours. It's different than yours. So we don't need to worry about how God is going to use us. That is his job, and he does a great job at changing hearts, doesn't he? What I never thought would be possible, I find possible now, and I'm okay with it. In fact, I'm excited about it. What does it tell us in Philippians? And this is a secret too. Paul speaking to them, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obey, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And here it is. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, don't stop there because you might think, that, well, it's all about me for my salvation. No, because the next verse says, for it is God who works in you to will and then to do of his good pleasure. That is the secret. I don't have to get there. God gets me there. I just got to be patient. I got to let him do it. I got to be prayerful. I got to be willing. Are you willing? Just be willing. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want, but you got to change this rascal heart. And I can almost hear a voice from heaven, well, that is a challenge, but it's not a problem for me, Rob. I got you. And I have a way of getting you to point A to point B without you even being aware of it. I'm so good about that, God says. I can take this rascal heart, this self-centered, self-focused heart, and I can get you, I can turn you around to where you're like, all you want to do is bless somebody else. And all you're concerned about is what somebody else is going through. I can do that. Am I not God? God would say. But I would encourage you to not do anything unless you have that burden and that calling.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.